save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What is going on? Is the Ethos Slippers podcast coming at you here Saturday evening, one night after the Los Angeles Clippers were eliminated by the Dallas Mavericks. Sadly, I predicted if Kawhi Leonard was not at full health, they would lose in five or six games, and that occurred. Sad times. I am your host, Brandon Marcus, joined by my co-host, who is now a father, Matt Matawarren, back on the Ethos Clippers podcast. Matt, how tired are you, my friend?
Sports Ethos Clipper Nation, Brandon Marcus, how the heck are you? Great to be back after a one-game absence due to the birth of my wonderful, wonderful daughter. I'm a little delirious. I think I've had since Wednesday. She was born on Thursday morning at about 6, but we didn't go to sleep because it was all throughout Wednesday night. I think I've had as much, if not a little bit less sleep, hours of sleep, than points that Pajamas had in that game against Dallas. It's in that realm.
All right, so when you found out that Pajamas was going to be starting, was your daughter crying? Was your daughter laughing? I'm assuming that when she found out as well, she had to have been crying, right?
Oh, no. She had to burp me. She had to calm me down when that news came through. I was crying. I was going ballistic. I had to be changed. The whole nine yards. I told you, I was going to turn the car around and check myself. We were on the way home from the hospital. I almost had to check myself back in. I was shocked to no end that Pajamas was going to start game six. I mean, you know, the ever tactician of Ty Lue, and we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff like this, but to make that adjustment on an elimination game it's a little perplexing.
Yeah, it's bonkers to see. After, remember when Ty Lue and Rick Carlisle were kind of exchanging tactical moves back and forth in those series a couple mm-hmm. of years ago? It's like, all right, we're going to go with Boban. And then the Clippers are like, no, we're going to start this person. Oh, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it seemed like both of them were playing chess. And it was just an intense game. You're watching to see what the next move would be. And then you see that Ty Lue, this incredible coach, who many rave as a top five coach in the NBA, his move in a must-win game six was, let's start P.J. Tucker in place of Amir Coffey. Just one of those things that, frankly, I could not believe at all. And if you had given me all the different choices, whether it was starting Westbrook, starting Norm, starting, who knows, Bones, probably not Bones, or starting PJ, I would have probably had PJ as like the third option there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I would have had any of those guys, except for possibly Bones, starting over him. I mean, you have Coffey, like you said, you have everybody.
Yeah.
But you got to play the odds. And speaking of playing the odds, BetOnline, folks, that's your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball to golf to NBA, if you're going to continue watching after the Clippers lost. I understand if that's out of the cards. You know, Minnesota had a great win tonight against Denver. You put some money over there, you make some bucks. And but the NHL playoffs are still going. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow for your favorite teams, even if they were eliminated. You can still follow the other teams that's going on, other sports. But seriously, get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. They may be working on pickleball at this moment. I don't know. I don't have the inside track on that. But anyway, head over to the website today or on your computer, mobile device, whatever you use to get the action. BetOnline. Brandon, it's where the game starts.
All right, Matt. So let's talk hoops. We were talking about it, so let's continue on with this PJ Tucker thing. I couldn't believe it when my buddy texted me. He's like, did you see what the change is? And I said, no. And he goes, PJ Tucker. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I saw that and I was blown away. And it's hilarious because PJ Tucker provided absolutely nothing in the first half. And so I thought for sure, when the Clippers closed that first half with that lineup of Harden, PG, Powell, Mann, and Zoo, who played the final 11 minutes of the first half and ended up getting it all the way back to tie at the half at 52 apiece, I thought for sure that we would see some sort of change at halftime. And if we didn't see a change at halftime, which Ty Lue, by the way, doesn't do very often, I thought we would have seen PJ Tucker on the floor for maybe a couple of minutes. Instead, a horrendous start to the third quarter allowed Kyrie and Luka to have that 8-0 run. Tucker somehow continues to stay on the floor. He played the first 7 minutes and 30 seconds of the third quarter, and that included a couple minutes as a small ball center when Zoo went to the bench. Yes, Zoo went to the bench like halfway through the third quarter, which he never, ever, ever does. So Ty Lue not only starts PJ Tucker, then he decides to do something different and bench Zoo earlier than he ever had in any game this year when it wasn't dealing with foul trouble. And it was an absolute unmitigated disaster that, frankly, all of us could have foreseen. And in that moment, Matt, I wondered, how does the coach, who is supposed to be way better of a basketball mind than us, not see what we're seeing in this situation? That PJ Tucker actively hurts the Clippers team, is not good enough, and you just had that sample size to end the first half, and it still wasn't enough to make you pull the trigger earlier on in the third quarter to make the change and go back to the lineup that helped you. I just absolutely do not get it, man.
You know, I don't get it either. And on the last pod when Shane was on, I think he alluded to something along the lines of, he posed the question, like, do the players know? When Kawhi goes out, is a sort of, they are competitive, of course, and they're going to try, although we can argue that they were competitive and tried. Mm-hmm. But do they know that it's over? Like, they don't really have a chance to win this series. And if they do somehow pull out this series, there's no way they're going much further. And I wonder if that, and I don't know if that's the case, but I believe Shane pose that, mm-hmm, that question or that hypothesis anyway. And I wonder if, by extension, Ty Lue felt that way and just sort of said, well, you know, we were terrible in game 5, and I do mean terrible at home, embarrassing. Let's, you know, we're not going very far. Let's just try this. Let's throw in the old guy. Let's throw in Peach. I'm a player's coach. I played against the guy. Let's throw him in and just try something. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We're going home. If not in this series, certainly in the next. Because they knew Kawhi is not coming back at all for the rest of these playoffs.
Yeah.
So I that's the only thing I can really think of, is that it's sort of like, well, it's kind of a why the hell not sort of, because I don't think it's stubbornness. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of that, but Ty Lue doesn't strike me as a coach that would just do this because this is what I'm doing because it's my way or the highway, and this is what I want, and this is who I want to play. The only thing I can think of, it was sort of well, you know what? We're not going anywhere, so I'm going down in a blaze of glory with my guy pajamas.
There's no way he looks at that and he's like, yep, this is my best lineup. Like, there's no way, right? Like,
can't be.
It just wouldn't make the most sense. It wouldn't make sense at all for a guy who's such a good basketball mind to look at PJ Tucker and be like, yep, that is the guy that I want to go down with. And I do wonder, and this will lead us to one part of our going forward future question. I wonder, was PJ Tucker a Lawrence Frank guy, or is PJ Tucker a Ty Lue guy? And I wonder, and this is just being hypothetical, and listen, it's probably not true, but I wonder if Ty Lue's like, you know what, we're in a winner-go-home game 6. Let's go ahead and play Lawrence Frank's guy, if that was Lawrence Frank's guy, so that we can show how poor that decision was to bring him in that deal. Like, I know they had to bring him in, I'm guessing, with alongside Harden, but they could have easily tried to trade him during that deadline, and Lawrence Frank didn't, and I guess no team wanted to take him on, whatever the deal might have been. I just wonder how much of it was a, here's your guy, and here's how bad he is, but I'm going to play him just so you can see how bad he is. It's probably very unlikely, but knowing how this team was probably screwed, like, there's no way you can look at that in the first 7.5 minutes of the third quarter and be like, yep, this is the guy that I want to have on the floor. It just doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think either of our either of our hypotheses or either of our explanations are likely. I do like yours better, actually, that it is sort of like a middle finger, or just it's a really passive aggressive, like, here you go. This is the guy you wanted to play. I mean, we know Ty Lue and management have had those sort of battles and those spats before. Because you're right. I mean, you're a much better basketball mind than I am. I watch hoops quite a bit, though, and both of us are, and anybody you see on Twitter, anybody on any one of our friends in the large Ethos Clipper nation, and anybody beyond, some of our friends from other pods, or, you know, just Clipper writers or what have you, you know, to your kid, to my new kid, anybody could see that Pajamas Tucker is not the way to go. So it's probably not one of those explanations, but there has to be an explanation for why he was in there, because he was. I mean, unless, you know, just, and this is just the third theory that I'll throw out there for Bizarro Land. You know, maybe Ty Lue is a loyal listener to the Sports Ethos Clippers podcast. He actually is good buddies with Pajamas and said, you know what, Sky Brandon and Matt, these guys, let's show them how we do it in Pajamas Land. Get in there.
Here. What if he came out of the locker room with pajamas on and he's like, here you go, this is the guy. Oh man,
he's like warming up shooting pillows.
Yeah, so that leads us to our first question, as we go through what happened yesterday. And that first question is, do you bring back Ty Lue? And I personally think that the biggest question when someone says fire Ty Lue is, who are you bringing in that's going to be better? And I just don't know if there's someone out there that's better. That being said, there may be a time, and that time may be now, where the guys just need a different, a different voice in the locker room. And that could be someone that, I mean, you look at coaches that just wear their welcome. I mean, listen, Andy Reid was a great head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they just needed somebody else. And he went on to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's won a couple of Super Bowls. You see guys like Bill Belichick. It's like he's been there for a while. They started losing a couple of seasons without Tom Brady. They need a different voice in there. There's a time where even some good teams, and Patriots are probably a bad example because they sucked, but even some good teams just need a new voice in the locker room because they're not getting it done. Look at Bud, for example, with the Bucks. So the question is it time to move on and bring in somebody else, the new voice, and you think you maybe can do better than what you're achieving right now? Or do you keep Ty Lue and do you get rid of maybe Lawrence Frank, the one who constructed this roster that has some deep flaws, as we'll discuss throughout today? Personally, I think you keep Ty Lue. And there's been a lot of decisions that he's made over the years that I've not agreed with. But I feel like he's done a pretty good job recognizing Zoo for the most part this year. It just seems like he tries to tinker too much. But that being said, he does it because his team's not healthy. And I feel like he's just trying to find a solution that works. And with a team that's not healthy, and that just may be the MO going forward, I'm just not sure he knows how to figure out this team. So that's where you can make the case that maybe he needs to go because he doesn't know how to operate this non-healthy team. So that's a long way of saying I think it's probably Lawrence Frank that gets the boot and Ty Lue stays. But I wouldn't be completely upset if Ty Lue left the building. I would be upset if he goes to the Lakers, though. So that's where I am. What about you?
A lot of good points. I agree with a lot of what you say there. You know, like the new voice in the locker room, you're right, because sometimes a coach can simply lose the locker room. Now, you brought up Coach Bud. If that's the case study, then maybe you definitely want to keep Ty Lue because, you know, replacing Bud in Milwaukee did not work out
right
all that well, as we know. J.J. Redick to coach the Lakers. I'm actually kind of praying for that. I think would be hilarious. And great synergy. Him and LeBron have a pod, I believe. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't get much better than that. But for Ty Lue, so to replace Ty Lue, it's like the reverse all-star snub. Like, he got snubbed. Okay, but then who would you take off, right? So you take out Ty Lue as the head coach. Then who do you put in? And you mentioned the health and his recognizing Zoo's contributions this season and all that. But moving forward and the kind of the crux of the Clippers, and especially because of how the contracts work now and what new building the Clippers are going into and all that stuff. You coach the Clippers, yes, but essentially you're taking on Kawhi when you take on this job, because Kawhi is the Clippers at this moment with his contract, with his level of stardom, and with his injuries. Like you said, you're coaching an injured team because Kawhi right now is the centerpiece. He essentially is the Clippers. So you take out Ty Lue. Who do you put in that A can deal with that sort of up and down turmoil roller coaster ride that we've all been on this season? But as the coach, who can do that? Who can have Kawhi's ear? Now we think, or at least I do, that Ty Lue at least can and does have some influence on Kawhi and, you know, how he plays, when he plays, and all that stuff. So, and he's got a history with him, and a playoff history to boot. So, I do think that you keep Ty, not only because I do believe he is a good coach, despite some of the decisions that baffle us. I do think he's a really good coach, and then just who do you bring in there? Because if it's a new voice with this veteran laden team, like let's imagine Paul George extends and Harden re-ups and all that kind of stuff. These guys have been together forever, and you can bring in a new voice, yes, but there's got to be some gravitas to that voice, and I mean big time to coach stars like this, including Kawhi, an injured Kawhi, a healthy Kawhi, whatever the case may be. Ty Lue's been there, done that, and I think the Clippers, especially moving into the Intuit Dome, and from a business standpoint, you probably just want to keep the ship as steady as possible, because you run the risk of, you know, I don't think Ty Lue has lost the locker room, but you run the risk of somebody not even getting their clutches into the locker room. We mentioned the Bucks, Adrian Griffin style. So if there's going to be somebody who gets axed and who has to take the fall for this, yeah, I would point to one Lawrence Frank as well, because if you remove Ty Lue, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So I would say hold on to him.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point in terms of having a coach that comes in with some gravitas and that has that voice, because you look at the Lakers and bring in Darvin Ham, who was a first-year head coach. Like, that's not the answer. Like, bringing in, you may, all jokes aside, bringing in J.J. Redick, probably not the answer for a team that needs to compete right now. Like, because you can't go through those growing pains. You can't go through those experiments of benching Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell as a very rookie head coach, not making the right decisions there. Because guess what? You don't have time to make those mistakes. And for the Clippers, their mistake was starting Russell Westbrook over and letting him kind of play as long as he did. And then all of a sudden, James Harden comes in. James Harden starts, and they end up sending Westbrook to the bench and bringing in Terrence Mann. And it makes a lot more sense. And so it was a very short experiment. But because Ty Lue, and it's another thing he's done a lot better recently, he went with that 10-game experiment last year. He didn't do that this year. It was a shorter leash. He knew that they had to win now. So I think you just go with Ty Lue. He's a good coach, and you hope that it works out. But listen, none of this matters, and this will take us to our next point. If the Clippers can't stay healthy, which I don't think they can, I don't think it matters. Kawhi can't stay healthy. Whether he is load-managed like he was the last couple of years, that he's been healthy, or he plays a ton of games like he did this year. No matter what happens, it seems like it's going to result in him missing time in the playoffs anyways. And if he can't be healthy for the postseason, which it doesn't seem like he can be, seems like the NBA season is just too long for him, and his knee just has too many issues, then it doesn't matter. And I think this is going to be a really, really crappy couple of years for the Clippers, and we'll talk about them running it back. But as long as Kawhi's not healthy, which it seems like he's incapable of staying healthy, then whether you have a new coach, whether you have Ty Lue, I don't think it matters.
And the regular season is one thing, and you're right. Kawhi has proven time and time and time and time again that he can't make a full season. So then what do you do? Do you load manage him again? Well, in the past, he's gotten hurt even while being load managed. He dragged himself through the Toronto when he was on Toronto to win that championship, but that was also on one leg. So it's I don't want to say a fact, but you know, the proof is in the pudding that he's going to get hurt. So what do? You load manage him all season. Then he plays what, half the season, half the games, whatever the case may be. Okay. And then he's ready for the playoffs. So then what happens in the playoffs? You got to win three rounds in the West, and then you got to go to the championship. You think his body can get through that? So it's pretty dark if you try to look at him, even entering a postseason healthy. Who's to say he's going to make it through a postseason healthy? It's really tough in that regard. So, it's really, if you kind of expand on, well, the Clippers, it's not even worth covering. You mentioned to Shane, you say it's not even worth covering this game because Kawhi wasn't there. It's not, or we all three of us said it's not worth kind of predicting what the Clippers are going to do in the playoffs until we know if Kawhi is healthy or not.
Yeah.
Well, then if you kind of expand that to a full season or throughout his contract, well, then it's kind of hard to see the Clippers doing anything huge or getting to like the grand prize, getting the championship or doing anything like that, because we can only assume at this point that Kawhi is going to be unhealthy. And they gave him the contract extension. He was on a really healthy run at the time. He was looking great. We were calling for him to be an MVP candidate. So yeah, they gave him the extension, not to mention they're moving into the new building and all the stuff that we've discussed before. But having Kawhi, as I said, when you coach the Clippers, you're taking on Kawhi, because at this moment, and I'll say it again, Kawhi Leonard is the Clippers. He is the guy. He's the star. It's not PG. It's not Harden. It's Kawhi. But he's also, like you said, he's absent all the time. So it is, I don't know if it's going to be really dark times moving forward, but if you consider this, and the reason that we're talking about all this on the podcast, a round one exit where Kawhi barely played two games, and in one of them, I mean, he was more of a detriment to the team than anything. Then if you consider this dark times, then I could definitely see this being what we have to look forward to. Unfortunately, now we can't say for sure. Like I said, it's not a fact Kawhi will get hurt, but one can make an educated guess that he will.
Yeah, no doubt. And you brought up something, and I want to hit on it and expand on it, and I'll do that right after the break.
Okay, so you hit on... Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Something, and it made me think of the key point here with the Clippers. And you said, what, Kawhi plays half the season, then he's ready for the playoffs. Here's the funny thing, and it's really not that funny. The Clippers finally valued the regular season this year, and they ended up with a top four seed, and they ended up with home court. We've talked about how important it is to win during the regular season, because if you don't, you end up where the Lakers ended up, in that play-in, and you have to play a couple of games, either one or two, and then you go into a postseason matchup against a team that's a top two seed. Well, if Kawhi does get load managed, we just discussed how the Clippers just don't win games, at least not many of them, without Kawhi Leonard. So if you're going to load manage him, then it's more likely than not you're going to end up as either a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or out of the playoffs. And so you're setting yourself up for failure by load managing him, because you're going to have a poor regular season. He may be ready for the postseason, but he still has shown that even if you low manage him, he still will probably be hurt during the postseason. So it frankly does not matter. So I think the key is going to be that you're going to have to just continue to value the regular season and win as many games as possible and hope and pray that he can stay healthy. And if he's not able to handle the grind of a regular season, then so be it. I mean, you really have laid, or rather made your bed, and you need to lay in it now. And it's unfortunate, because I feel like, Matt, you have to do well during the regular season, because if you don't, then you put even more stress on yourself at the end of seasons. We've talked about this, and you just end up screwed when all is said and done. And it really just feels like all roads right now lead to being screwed.
Yeah, man. And you know, you're right. And you also, you got me thinking when you were talking about taking the regular season and how if you do what the Lakers did, they end up there. If you do what the Clippers did, they end up here. Same result, first round exit. But I'm thinking like, okay, so if you do what the Lakers do, then I got thinking about Golden State, and I was thinking about the West at large, and the Clippers are sort of in that pack with Golden State, the Lakers, the older guard, right? Not the Timberwolves, not the OKC Thunder, not even the Pelicans. You can throw the Kings in there if you want, but like the up and comers. But the problem too with the Clippers, and you talk about making your bed and now you have to sleep in it, the one thing that the Lakers have is draft picks to trade. The one thing that the Warriors have, draft picks, and but they also have young players that they can trade if they really wanted to make an honest run at it. What did the Clippers have? A looming contract that they need to give to Paul George and James Harden, and that's about it. And maybe a draft pick. So you talk about making your bed, and that's the class or the group. I don't want to say the class, but the group of teams that you would probably lump the Clippers in, because they're not an up and coming team. They're veteran laden. They're old. They do get injured, and the margins are so razor thin that, yeah, I mean, it looks even bleaker when I think of it in that regard.
All right. You brought up PG. So you have been a big proponent of his, and you heard on the last podcast that Shane said, even I can't defend PG anymore. So here we are, where yesterday Paul George ends up shooting 6 for 18 in a must win game number 6. 6 for 18, okay? In the first half, he was 5 of 12. Do the math there. About to call you Shane. Matt, you know what that ends up as? That means he was 1 of 6 in the second half. 1 made field goal on 6 attempts in the second half. Just one of the all-time worst playoff performances in a series I have seen from a guy that is supposed to be a number one to a 1A of Kawhi Leonard. We talked about the mindset where he said he prefers to be the Robin to Kawhi's Batman, how he said to James Harden, you take us home, I'll get the stops on defense. We've heard him talk about on his podcast that it just doesn't affect him, these wins and losses anymore. It's not really as important to him. It's about just he doesn't want to let down his team. Like, the mindset just is not there. And for him to lay the egg in back-to-back ball games and to just have that one good half and really not have a great series at all, incredibly disappointing, Matt. And I know you've been on his side. I'm curious if after this series, if you still are.
So a couple of things on Paul George, and you can call me Shane anytime you want. I consider it a compliment, but just don't call me Shirley. Paul George, so I will say this. He's got the same birthday as my daughter. So forever, place right there in my heart. But I was talking to a friend of mine who is, to call him a casual basketball fan would be a gross exaggeration. But he does tune into the Clippers because he's a buddy of mine, and especially during the playoffs. And he knew that I was in and out of watching the last couple of games, especially the one in L.A., because I was in the hospital with the birth of my daughter. So I was talking to him today just about parenting and this, that, and the third. And he had mentioned that he had turned on the game yesterday against the Mavericks where the Clippers got eliminated. And he mentioned Paul George, and he mentioned a couple of other players. And the word that he used, and unfortunately I have to agree, was pathetic. The effort was pathetic. The performance was pathetic. The mindset was pathetic. Too many times yesterday did I see Paul George get the ball, give it right back to James Harden, go to the corner. Just incredibly passive. Passive P was in full effect yesterday. And I do defend to the death, and I know you agree with me on his talent. Of course, he's one of the most talented scorers and a great, 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 great defensive player, one of the great two-way players we have. But it was a I don't want to be here anymore type of performance last night.
Yeah,
and that's coming off of I don't want to be here and I don't know what I'm doing performance in the previous game. So I'm with Shane in that I really don't have much to say in the way of protecting Paul George for these performances. Now, I still think that he's capable, at least skill-wise, of putting a team on his back. I mean, we saw it when Kawhi got hurt against Utah however many years ago, and when he led them to win that series and, you know, put up a valiant effort against the Suns. So I think he can, or at least he could, do that. But there's just whatever has happened over the years, or if it's mental wear and tear from how many times he's had to pick up the mantle with Kawhi going down, or he, you know, sees James Harden come in, sees James come in, and he says, okay, fine. Thankfully, now I have my own safety valve, whereas I've been, you know, Kawhi's for the longest time, or whatever. I want to be Robin, whatever the mindset is. It is, like my friend Errol said, it's a pathetic thing to watch. I'm not saying Paul George is a pathetic person. I'm just saying the performances were as such. And it really bummed me up, because I'm such a Clippers fan, but I'm also just such a Paul George fan that it's just like, you're watching a guy that you, in your mind anyway, that I know can do so much more and should want to do so much more. And it just doesn't look like he wants to at all or has any interest in taking that up. So I was very disappointed. I continue to be very disappointed. And now, to add to it, you go into an offseason where he's going to command just an enormous amount of money from the Clippers, or use the leverage of a Philadelphia or an Orlando or whoever else has cap space to bring him in against the Clippers to get that bag. So it's a really crappy situation all the way around. I don't take back anything I said about his skills or me thinking that he can lead the team. And frankly, I was just wrong about him being able to do that or having any interest in doing so anyway.
Yeah, it's just the mindset's not there. And passive P is certainly the way I would describe him. And the frustrating thing is exactly what you said, that he's got all the skills to be that guy to take over a ball game. But then he goes and he takes, four shots in the second half? Like, he took 16 total shots or 18 total shots. He took 6 shots in the second half. Like, that's it? Like, you're going to end up taking 18 shots in an elimination game. Like, that's all you're going to do? Just to
at least go down firing. I mean, look, if you miss 100 of, if you go to the rim and you miss, or you whatever, just get a, try to will the team to a win, and it's just wasn't in him.
Yeah, there's two things that I want to bring up there. First of all, I thought it would have been funny if they kept Paul George on the bench at the end of the game after they cut the deficit from 20 to 13 with PG sitting. I mean, Zoo came in, PJ somehow stayed in, which is ridiculous. But PG went to the bench with 5 minutes left, and the Clippers were down 20, and he came back in with them down 13 with 3 minutes left when Dallas called the timeout. Wouldn't find you to see what happened if they kept PG bench. But there really was one play that I feel like really described it, or really like well for me, is that, I mean, it really describes the Clippers yesterday. Russell Westbrook missed the layup. PJ Washington, the other way, missed a three. And PJ gets his own rebound because Paul George could not box out PJ Washington. Washington gets the rebound, passes out to Kyrie for an open three. And again, a live ball turnover basically for a Russell Westbrook missed layup ends up in PJ Washington getting a three that he missed. But because PG didn't want to bother rebounding, PJ Washington gets his own miss and fires it out to Kyrie for a dagger three. Like, that type of effort just was not there. I mean, it just wasn't there for PG, both offensively and defensively. Didn't seem like he cared enough, that he wanted it enough. I alluded to Kobe Bryant last episode, and I'll do it again. I just would never see Kobe in this situation be like, I am not going to... Kobe would chuck up 50 shots in an elimination game. Like, he's going to do whatever possible to make sure they don't lose. Instead, like you said, PG passed the ball off to Harden and went in the corner. Like, he was happy just not doing anything in that second half, and it was a pathetic performance and really, really disappointing. And you bring it up now, that what do you do with him? Because you're really in a no-win situation again here, because you kind of, again, made your bed. You kind of have to bring Paul George back, because if you don't, and I think that we're both going to maybe agree on James Harden coming back, because you need to have someone to set up that offense. James Harden has shown he can't be that number two scorer. They need someone there that can be that guy that can go and light it up during a ball game when Kawhi is healthy, and especially when Kawhi misses a game. And Paul George doesn't seem like he wants to be that guy, but I don't think you're going to have the money to get that guy, because you just won't have the money in the cap. I mean, you're going to already be over the first or second apron. Like, if you don't re-sign him, it helps you out cap-wise. And you have a chance to maybe get somebody for, I'm guessing, what, $10, $12 million? I don't know how much the mid-level is, somewhere around that area. And that's not going to be someone that's going to be able to help you win the title. So I feel like if you are going to keep Kawhi Leonard, which you have with this 3-year deal, I feel like you kind of have no choice but to bring back Paul George. Do I want him coming back? No, I don't, because I think that he shrinks when the time comes to be a big, big-time player. I think he just can't be there, but I don't think the Clippers have another option. So I think they're kind of stuck, Matt.
They're stuck in the worst way. And by the way, I could hear my daughter crying after I disparaged Paul George. I'm sorry, honey. I know you guys share a birthday, but the fact of the matter is he was pathetic in those performances. But they're stuck in the worst way, because it's not just like they should resign. Okay, by all means, resign Paul George and see what happens. It's not re-signing because he can leave. It's re-sign him if he'll have you, right? He could just up and go if negotiations go poorly, if he listens to podcasts like this and says, well, screw that, I'll go somewhere where they actually appreciate. We do appreciate you, Paul, but you got to play better in situations like this. But anyway, the ball is in his court. And he can leave if he wants. He can re-sign or demand whatever amount of money that he wants, because they didn't extend him before. Not to say that they like really should have, but they didn't. So they're stuck in the worst way in that. Really, it's what he wants, whatever he decides. Because if he wants to resign, then like you said, you have to do it, because there is no way that you're replacing that production with the budgetary restrictions that you have. And if he wants to leave, he is free to do so, because he's under no obligation to resign. So it's the worst situation, just kind of waiting to see what Paul George decides to do. And you know, who knows. Everybody's going to root for their own outcome. I'm sure many, many people want Paul George to come back. Many people agree with you. Good riddance, but it's not good riddance, because you cannot replace it. So they're stuck in the absolute worst way.
I'll say this. If he wants to get the max contract, he can go. I just don't think there's any way possible that you can give him that money. It makes no sense whatsoever, especially the years. I mean, if he's willing to sign a 3-year deal and line up with Kawhi Leonard, then fine. I mean, I think I don't want him. I really don't. But if that's what you're going to be able to do, then fine. But if he wants to go for 4 or 5 years and he's asking for a lot more money, let him go. I mean, you're screwed anyways. Let him go and see what you can do with Kawhi Leonard and whoever else you're going to build around him. I've had enough of this guy, man. I really dislike watching him, because it's like somebody that works in your office that is the most intelligent human being that has shown glimpses of brilliance, and then just goes and wants to put their feet up and just doesn't care and doesn't show up for work half of the days of the year. And it feels like that's what you're getting with Paul George. It's like he's got all the talent in the world. He could be CEO of the company, but he just doesn't care enough to be so. And it's really frustrating. It's maddening to see as a fan. And if he wants to go because the Clippers aren't paying him enough, it's fine. I really feel like the Clippers are not going to fall to their knees and give Paul George what he wants, because I'm guessing that he hasn't re-signed because he was asking for a max contract. And the Clippers, I don't think, are going to go there. And so I think we may see some trouble in paradise. And the Clippers have mentioned wanting to run it back. Ballmer has said he's going to pay. But it just feels like you've gotten to this point. Are you all of a sudden going to cave? I don't know if the Clippers will, but either way, it's a really, really bad situation. And I think that if he wants more than 3 years, you can let him go and just figure it out. If he's willing to stay for 3 years, then I guess you have no other choice but to say, okay, come on back.
Absolutely. He's like, yeah, he's the Will Hunting of the Clippers. Like he's like beyond skilled and intelligent, and he sees the game and he can do all these equations on chalkboards, are probably the most brilliant plays, but you know, hanging out on my podcast and sort of being the second fiddle and letting the other guys do it, that's kind of where I'm comfortable and kind of where I'm at. Yeah, I could, but you know, I'd rather, you know, write things about apples and put it onto a window. But I wonder if they do decide to do what you're saying, and if that's probably the right move, but then you have to think a couple of steps down the line. Like, you don't just ride in mediocrity or slightly below mediocrity with no picks coming up and with Kawhi Leonard on the roster at that point.
The Clippers do have picks, by the way. I think that's a misconception. They do have picks. It's just that you can only trade every other year. So the Clippers have their pick every other season. The Thunder just have the ability to swap with them, but the Clippers still do have their picks every other year.
And the Thunder aren't going to swap with them because the Thunder are going to have.
Right.
I mean, the Thunder probably will swap with them. Whatever the case may be with the picks, but you're still gonna ride in mediocrity. And so if Paul George does leave, then does Kawhi just become a trade chip to a contender to try to sort of rebuild the war chest? There's just so much to think about depending on what the decision is that Paul George makes, and it looms so large.
Yeah, and so that brings us to James Harden. And I've kind of already hinted at this. I think you need to bring back James Harden. I just think that you looked for a point guard for so long, and you have one here in James Harden who wants to be here. Yes, he is not the scorer he once was, but he had the ability to win you a game like he did in Game 5. And people want to go and show his numbers from yesterday and say, oh, he wasn't there in the clutch. Listen, this is a guy that was brought in to be the number 3 that was asked to take 16 shots last night, and he was 0 of 6 or 3. It clearly was a concentrated effort to slow him down. It doesn't help when your Paul George isn't doing jack, but you look a little bit closer yesterday. James Harden, 13 assists, 1 turnover, 2 steals, and a block. Like, he may not have shot all that well, but 13 assists and 1 turnover, that's really, really good. And you need somebody like that. And I think you need to bring back James Harden. And because clearly Harden is a guy that knows how to set up an offense, and he got great chemistry with Zoo. Zoo's going to be there long term. So I think it's as simple as that. I think it's an easy bring back for James Harden, because frankly, I don't think you have a better option at point guard. And I think the guy like James Harden only comes around ever so often as someone that can facilitate like he can. So I would bring him back. What about you?
I completely agree. I mean, his chemistry with Zoo and his chemistry with the whole team at large, and effort. He did play with effort. You have to give James Harden that. He was going for it through the majority of this series, and you want to say the majority of the season too. He did get dinged up. He had some things that were bothering him, and of course his play fell off towards the end of the season. He wasn't as spectacular as he was when the Clippers were really rolling in the regular season, but like you said, he's a guy who wants to be there. Great, 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 great team guy from all accounts, from everything we hear. And played really well. Like you said, 13 assists to 1 turnover. I mean, that's awesome. You know, he couldn't really hit a shot yesterday. He was 0 of 6 from 3, but that'll happen. He had the floater game. And it's just a bizarre world where you come to the end of a basketball season, and you never really think you're going to be in the place where you're like, Paul George, no, James Harden, yes, let's do it. Like, it's strange how things work out or how feelings change. And I'm not saying I'm saying no to Paul George, but that's sort of, it's just like where James Harden is a must, Paul George, it's a little murkier. So, but to the larger point, I do agree that James Harden, they must bring him back. And I hate to keep bringing up the new arena, but they are going to want to put butts in those toilets, and Harden's a way to do it.
Speaking of butts in the toilets, I don't think that I would I would actually, let's phrase this a little better, I would take a toilet from any arena in exchange for Russell Westbrook. And as much as he was able to contribute, and I said this on Twitter, that I would take a toilet for PJ Tucker, I would take one for Russell Westbrook as well, because I think we saw this year that he ain't it. He has these spurts where he can provide some energy, give you some good defense, but I just think that he is a guy that just thinks he should be playing a lot more than he really should, and someone that can't convert like 50% of their freaking layups. No. I mean, if you can't shoot 70, 75, 80% from around that area, then no, you're gone, man. I just think that he became unplayable in this series. And I think there's a reason why there are a lot of other teams that didn't want him, and he ended up signing for, what, $2 million. He's got a player option. Hopefully he declines that and he tries to get a bag somewhere else where I don't know who would pay him. But I would not bring him back. If he has that player option, he takes it, then I guess you're forced to. But if he declines it, then I would not bring him back. How do you feel about Westbrook?
So I like to wear my, sometimes I like to wear my heart on my sleeve, and I get emotional, and I start to think about these guys. And of course, they're all human beings and they're great. But if you want to think about the greater good of the team, I think I have to agree with you. Westbrook ain't it, because, you know, the energy that he brings and the how he gets the crowd involved and, you know, just hyping up the guys, that's all well and good. But if you're negatively impacting the team more than you're positively impacting the team on the floor, and like you mentioned, the 180 mile per hour layups that just clang off the backboard or just don't go in, the open threes. I mean, he's not a no yes guy. He's a no hell no guy. So it, and I love Russ, and it's really hard to say because it, you know, I feel like I'm emotionally wrapped up in him and him, just being this seemingly transforming his game and his role. He didn't transform his game, but just transforming his role and buying in and all of that's like, well, you got to appreciate that. And you would think, you know, you should reward that. But in rewarding that, really what you're doing is hurting the team, especially when it comes to the playoffs and to moments like this, when you need somebody who can step up and actually perform, and not only perform, but produce. And that's something that seems to have gone by the wayside. So if he picks up the option, like you said, okay, great, we roll with it. But I hate to say it, I think it may have run its course if he wants to go elsewhere. And then I hope he does get a bag. That would fill my heart, and I'd be emotionally satisfied with that. But the production is just not there. The efficiency, and you know, on this podcast, we're big efficiency guys. And boy, if you want somebody who's not a big efficiency guy, then you need to look no further than Westbrook.
So Russell Westbrook right now is 35 years old. Bones Highland, in case you're wondering, is 23 years old. Like, I just think that it's a no-brainer to give Bones Highland those minutes and let him emerge and see what he can do. Because guess what? He looked pretty dang good at the start of the season when he was in that backup point guard role. I think he has the ability to be a big contributor to the Clippers. Maybe not a starter-level contributor, but he can be a big-time contributor, someone that can spread the floor, that can provide that energy, and is way younger than Westbrook. And so, in this case, I think it's a no-brainer to let go of him. Let Bones Highland be that backup point guard behind James Highland, or pardon me, behind James Harden, and kind of go from there. So, I mean, we've hit on it all. We've hit on Ty Lue, whether he should stay or go, PG, the deal with Kawhi, Harden, Westbrook. I mean, you've got a good foundation there with Zoo and Man. Like, those two guys are certainly dudes that you want to have around in the long term, and you want to keep having those dudes on your roster. It's just one of those things. The Clippers are going to have to figure things out financially, but I think you need to have Zoo and Man on your roster and kind of go from there. But it's not easy. Yesterday was a really bad look. I mean, you were able to come back and tie it up at 52 at half after erasing a 13-point deficit thanks to great defense. Dallas was just 6 of 16 in that second quarter, and you saw glimpses of what it could be with good defense, and you're contributing offensively, and you're right there with the Dallas team that, frankly, I don't think is very good, and that the Thunder team is going to end, the Thunder, I think, will end up beating them. I'm very surprised. The series is basically a toss-up in Vegas. But nonetheless, I mean, you've got some pieces. Norm Powell as well. I mean, yesterday, Norm was 0 for 2 in the third quarter. Like, he's got to be better as well. Everybody need to be better than they were yesterday. But I just think the Clippers are in a bad situation right now. And this is going to be a very, very interesting offseason. And you mentioned it earlier with the Clippers moving to the Intuit Dome. It feels like it's going to be Ballmer trying to just run it back and see if the Clippers can get lucky with health, which, spoiler alert, they probably won't be. And we're just getting back here, same place. It's just going to be 1 year later, Matt.
It is. And yeah, moving into the Intuit Dome, they really have no choice but to run it back. I mean, like we said, what else can they do unless you want to do a complete teardown? And they're not going to do that, I can pretty much guarantee. So, you know, they better just move in there, retire Blake's jersey on night one, make it a great first game in the Intuit Dome, and then sort of just try to do it all over again. I mean, you know, we, and I'm not sure if if we're wrapping up here, but we did something last season that I kind of enjoyed, which was you asked me, but I'm going to ask you, how will – so now that the Clippers season is officially over, how will you remember this season of Clippers basketball?
Disappointment. Really easy. That came to my head quickly. Disappointment. It was one that we went into this season thinking, all right, this Clippers team showed during the preseason and all their comments they want to take the regular season seriously. They end up trading for James Harden, and it looked good. They were 126 out of 31 games, and then all of a sudden the wheels fell off, and the Clippers just stopped caring. They had the expectations several years in a row. It seemed like this year they didn't have the same expectations, so we were kind of excited to see what it could be, but it really got to the same place again, where you had these expectations that you have these three dudes, and it always is title or bust, and the situation... it really was bust, and it was not enjoyable to watch this team. I felt no joy whatsoever watching Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and James Harden, and I mean, even with Terrence Mann and Zoo. Like, I just didn't find joy watching them, which I should, because I should enjoy watching a Hall of Famer in James Harden and in Paul George and in Kawhi Leonard and see dudes that actually care in Zoo and Mann. Like, I enjoyed watching Zoo's progression this year. I think that was enjoyable. But overall, it was just disappointing, and I want a team, and I saw a great tweet earlier today, that the Clippers fans deserve a team to enjoy watching and to root for, and I just don't feel like we have that team right now. So overall, I think it was disappointing. What about you?
Disappointing for sure, and I will – so I'll remember for a few things. The thing that comes to mind first for me is, and this is with a lot of seasons, but this will go to my second point, but I remember it as the roller coaster ride that we kept talking about, because there were some certain highs. And in those highs, I really did enjoy watching that run. I did enjoy watching the chemistry. I did enjoy watching them have what seemed to be a killer instinct that they could carry forward. But the second way that I'll remember the series is that the more things change, the more they stay the same, because here we sit once again, disappointed, like you said, and it's just it's like that. It is like a roller coaster that you've been on before. There's ups, there's downs, there's lulls, there's fun drops, there's excitement when you're going up the steep hill. But then you have to realize, I've been on this before. I know exactly what's going to happen next, and that's the way it felt. We felt like you knew exactly what was gonna happen next. Oh, Kawhi got hurt with a few games left. Yeah, okay. I mean, that makes sense. Oh, he's not healthy for the first game for the playoffs. Oh, and he's going to probably be out the rest of the playoffs. Yeah, we've seen that before. The Clippers are going to wilt to what could be an inferior opponent just because they don't have the proper mindset or just because they're the Clippers. Okay, well, that makes sense. So the more things have changed, the more they stay the same. And that doesn't bode well for the fact that for the most of this podcast, we're saying they're going to have to run it back. So the roller coaster ride, there were really fun highs. There were really low lows. And that's sort of Clipper fandom at whole. And speaking of Clipper fandom at whole, I think this is just an ode to you and just the work that you put in and just the way that you've worked with me and made me better, but I feel like the show has expanded, and in that we've gotten to talk to so many more Clippers fans over social media and having guests on and that I've been involved in. So in that regard, the Clipper Nation and the Clipper fan family that I have has grown exponentially. So that's due to the pod and basically due to you. So that I am incredibly grateful for.
I appreciate that. And I've said it several times, but it's been a joy to have you. And for people that have been listening to this podcast the last couple of years, they've known that kind of when it gets towards the last couple of months that the consistency does tend to kind of go by the wayside because it gets tough to get right back up and have the energy and the desire to pod. But with you, it's always fun. We know that we're going to record a couple times a week, and it's really enjoyable, and it's been great. So I'm glad that we had another season together, and I thought that the podcast got better and better as the year went on. All right, final predictions. It's a yes or a no, okay? It's as simple as that. Is Ty Lue back next year?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Is James Harden back next year?
Yes.
Is Kawhi Leonard healthy to start next year?
No.
Oh. I think I'm going to say yes on that one.
Okay.
Although, don't forget, he will be playing, apparently, if he's healthy, with the Olympic team.
So, oh, that's going to kill me.
Yeah.
If he does play with the Olympic team, I don't know how long the Olympics are. It's not that long, but okay. Well, yes or no? I'm a 51-49, but my 51 is on no.
Okay. Will Russell Westbrook be a Clipper next year?
Yes.
Oh wow. Okay, I'm gonna say no. I think there's a very strong chance he's not with the Clippers. So we agree on James Harden coming back. We don't agree on Kawhi Leonard's health. We agree on Ty Lue. We don't agree on Russell Westbrook. Paul George, is he going to be a Clipper next year?
Yeah, I think they work out the extension.
Oh, man.
Oh, not the extension. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It is an extension because he's got exactly. 1 year.
It is an extension.
Yeah, he's got right. 1 year.
But I think they worked that out.
Interesting. I'm going to say yes. And I think I'm only going to say yes because as stupid as this is, he's got his podcast here. And I just don't know if he wants to leave home to go to Philadelphia, who has some fans that will certainly turn on him quickly. And like he has seen Joel Embiid miss a ton of games. He has seen how the 76ers just flamed out. Like, what makes you think that you can go to the 76ers and all of a sudden things will change? Because you're going from one guy who always gets hurt to another guy that always gets hurt. I think that Paul George will be back. I'll be curious to see what my reaction is if he does come back. Because I feel very much anti-Paul George at the moment. But at the same time, I want to see my team win. And I just don't think you're going to get somebody for $10 to $12 million that's going to give you the production that Paul George can give you. So I think you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, and like we said, the ball is essentially in his court for the most part
of what
he wants to do. And, you know, it's funny because I love Paul George and we all know this, but it's funny that in my mind too, I was thinking like, well, why would he leave? His podcast is out here, you know, after he's done playing, he'll have plenty of opportunities, you know, in LA and the LA, the greater LA community at large, but it sucks. It's like, I guess we have just, we know that that's the Will Hunting mentality, that it's, he's happy to be comfortable here being second fiddle, you know, whatever the expectations are. But in the long game, he's like, we don't know what he's thinking, but just that it goes into our head that he's, you know, well, I got the podcast, I got this, I got that, that plays into the decision rather than I know we can win a championship here, which he may believe or he may not. It just speaks to what we can see about his personality and his aim to win and his mentality towards the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we'll see what happens. Should be an interesting offseason ahead, no doubt about that. Seems like things are always interesting in Clippers land. We're going to take a break, and by break, I mean not on this podcast, but we're going to take a break from recording. Don't exactly know what's next for us and when we will record and what will be occurring, but we're going to take a break. It has been a long, long season. Matt obviously just had a child, and we're going to give good old Matt some time to enjoy his child, and I'm going to get some time back with my wife since it seems like basically an hour plus is gone every single night when we only have a couple nights together, or rather a couple hours together. And the same, I'm sure, goes with you and your lovely wife. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. It's been a great season podcasting. We already mentioned how we felt about the actual season, but it's been a great season podcasting. And really, we couldn't have done it if it wasn't for you, the listeners, for being with us the entire way and for interacting with us on social media, like Matt mentioned, for leaving us those reviews, and please continue to do so. Rating the podcast, it always is great to hear from everybody, and we really do enjoy it a lot. So a big thank you to everybody for listening, because it's been another fun season in the books of talking Clippers basketball, and another fun season talking with you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, to end the podcast on a positive note, like we said, like I have so much fun doing this with you, Brandon. I'm shocked that I even get a chance to. I'm just, like I said, happy that you have worked with me to progress to a point where we can just jump on a couple nights a week and just chop it up and play off of each other. A lot of times we agree, but as we just saw, sometimes we don't, and that's perfectly fine. That's great. That's what makes it a discussion, and just interacting with everybody who's hit us up, be it in a review, over on social media. Like I said, I got to come on with a guest. I'd never done that before. So it's a growing process. It is so much fun. A lot of times, yes, we do get a little bit negative because that's where the season has led us. But one thing we're never negative about is how much fun we have on the show and just how much we appreciate and love everybody who listens to it. And even more so if you interact. So just awesome in that regard. Fantastic season.
Yep. And a big shout out to all of our guests who have come on throughout the season, especially Shane Young, who has been a great fill-in co-host whenever Matt has not been around, and even filled in as the number three spot on our podcast once. So a shout out to Shane Young for being a big time guest on our podcast and always contributing and helping out, and to all those others that hopped on throughout the season. So he is Matt Matawarren at Matt Matawarren on X. I am at BD Marcus. Until next time, everybody have a great off season and go Clips.
Go Clips.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric Smart Color Changing Light Bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting Smart Home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.